You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against death domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University, change the world. Changing the world, one voice at a time.
Propeller hosted an information session to their Global Clean Tech Innovation Program at Nelson Mandela University by Ocean Science Campus on last week, Tuesday. Madiba's Radio's news reporter, Sekele Lakholom, attended the session. She filled in this report.
On Tuesday, the 10th of June, 2025, Propeller Business Incubator hosted an information session at Nelson Mandela University's Ocean Sciences Campus, encouraging Eastern Cape entrepreneurs to apply for their Global Cleantech Innovation Program. The initiative aims to equip youth and small businesses with the tools and support to bring innovative solutions to life in sectors like clean technology, electronic waste, and climate technology. The program is supported by the Technology Innovation Agency, United Nations Industrial Development Organization, and the Department of Science, Technology and Innovation. It focuses on funding ideas that can make a real environmental and economic impact. Here's Propeller's marketing officer, Zandile Silo, explaining what the program offers.
So the incubation program, right, is designed for early stage entrepreneurs who have a proof of concept and require further prototyping, technical validation, and market readiness support. The program provides access to mentorship, product development support, and business development support to help innovators bring solutions closer to commercialization. It's quite important. Because most of the time, when we think of incubation, and most of the time we've spoken about this in terms of you just come with just your idea. But what is important is that you also come with like the proof of concept, and I think we've reiterated in terms of like the proof of concept in furthermore. So successful innovators may access grant funding for up to 600,000, which will be unlocked to support prototype development and further enhance the innovation journey. So that is more of the product development element of things. So to qualify for the program, the startup must have a product proof of concept that strives to solve an environmental challenge within the clean tech or climate tech sector in the Eastern Cape. It's important if you were to continue with the application that you indicate what is the specific problem or the challenge that you are addressing, and not be vague about it and maybe saying that sometimes I'll do this or sometimes I'll do this. Be direct in terms of what you actually are aiming to solve. Have this accelerator or acceleration program. So the program is tailored for innovators and businesses addressing sustainable procurement challenges. It equips entrepreneurs to create and expand their innovative solutions that not only promote environmental impact, but also enhance their competitive advantage.
Among the attendees were Nelson Mandela University students hoping to break into the tech space. One of them is Lisa Kanya Patreni, who says that he found the session to be very empowering.
I think the department, even the university itself, must invest in these programs. There must be mass awareness, there'll be activations, campus activations, whereby each and every campus we host an event of this nature where we educate people about clean tech and businesses that they can start, because there are ideas there in our campus, but it's a matter of opening platforms and reaching out to those young, brilliant minds. They're sitting in their residence and in their campus. Some they've resorted to giving up, and some they've said, no, it's our government.
Another student, Jabu Mnyango, says he always has ideas, but not too sure on where to start.
Yeah, the session was very wonderful. I got to learn about... I always, I have ideas, but I always look for funding, and I don't know where to start. And after the session, now I know where to go.
Propeller encourages clean tech innovators across the Eastern Cape to submit their applications by the 16th of June 2025. For more information, visit propellerincubator.co.za. For Madiba's Radio News, I am Sikelela Kholom.
Hello, 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 everyone. You are connected to the Call Out Podcast here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and definitely engage with you. Mm-hmm. It is your favorite presenter slash host of all time. I go by the name of KD, but formerly known as Karabo Daniels. And of course, I'm not alone today. I am with...
Uvuyisanani wanomchacho, your daily dose of sugar, but don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes, and that's not my medical aid. Such an interesting clip to play. So it just speaks about the importance of innovation and healthy, creative innovation, and also helping the environment, even as young people, because there are young people there who are in sustainability. And we just wanted to share this information with the rest of y'all and say, if you do have a business idea that involves cleaning up the environment, don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
Look up Propeller in your memos and go apply and just bring it up and just... be innovative, be you, and just be yourself and just do that.
This is a very wonderful initiative, I think.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's beautiful. I'm for it. I'm definitely for it. So, Vuyisanani, what are we speaking about in today's podcast?
Ooh, our last podcast before recess.
Actually, I'm so sad.
What's up, guys? Don't worry, we'll be back.
We'll be back next semester, definitely.
Yeah. We're coming back with a bang next semester, but we won't say too much.
Yes.
But we have some guests lined up, this and that lined up. Maybe you guys might see us face to camera. Who knows? What might happen. But then what we'll be talking about today is just a multitude of things that have been happening since we last spoke. We're going to update you on the Mthatha emergencies that has been happening. Also, what has been happening between Iran and with their war on that side and everything that they have going on. And also just to speak about... with what's been happening in Nigeria with the Christian genocides. So, hey, it's a lot. Topics today are not very nice. They're quite serious. But it's us. You're with us. So you don't have to stress. You don't have to worry about that. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
All right, then. So I think let's just start where we left off last week, with the whole Mthatha floods. The Eastern Cape got hit hard by devastating floods. The Eastern Cape province is reeling from severe flooding that has caused widespread destruction and displacement. Heavy rainfall has caused overwhelming rivers, leading to flash flooding in several areas. So the affected areas are Mthatha and Mdantsane. Homes and businesses inundated, with residents stranded in floods. Mdantsane flooding is reported in several townships, with roads and bridges damaged. Then there are many affected areas such as Ibathaweth, Idutywa, Nqentane. And there's also response efforts,
At least.
So emergency services are on the ground conducting rescues, distributing essential supplies. And as the South African National Defense Force has also been deployed to assist with evacuations and relief efforts as well. So it's good to see that, our country cares, the government cares, they're actually doing something about us,
Let's actually like give flowers where flowers are due. Always beat up the government and the local municipalities, because they're actually trying to help with their efforts. And because the casualties have been reported even there. And just homes being like severely distraught and being put apart in this time of the year. Imagine where are you going to find a place to stay?
Exactly.
It's like June, it's going to be cold, it's going to rain, and you're without a home right now.
And you've lost everything that you had. Fridge, microwave, beds, yonkinto.
Gone. It's just such a sad thing to see. But then I'm glad to see that the National Defense Force is even there.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons I want to become a soldier. Yeah, for real.
A soldier. You've never told me that.
Kaloku, you see me, I'm wearing military green. The people.
I wish you guys could see him. He's actually wearing military green.
I see. It's one of the reasons, because you don't. It's not even about war. Sometimes you can get to help people when they need like Definitely. This. You know, it's such an important thing. But I'm so glad to see that the government response was very quick. The Eastern Cape government has even declared a state of disaster in affected areas. Okay. And even relief efforts are underway, with teams working to restore infrastructure and provide support to affected communities.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a good thing to see. But hey, the community is still impacted, you know?
Definitely.
There's still just a large number of displaced individuals right now who are without homes, as we said, without uniforms, children who can't go to school.
Yeah.
People,
mind you, it's June examinations. The kids need to go to school. How are they coping mentally with that as well? You know, it's sad. It's actually so sad.
And knowing in South Africa, there's going to be children who say, "Sakumbulela flood that happened. That's why I dropped out of school." Because
most definitely
after that, I didn't have this. I didn't have that. My parent was injured and they didn't have any work anymore. It's like, it's going to be a ripple effect even in someone's life that this thing happened. And it's just such a sad thing to see. Because I remember even, it wasn't to this extent, but then when these floods happen in where I'm from, we used to not go to school and everything like that. Yeah. But then imagine now that it's to this multitude. Yeah. How many children are not going to school? How many children are missing their exams?
How many people lost work, etc.
Lost their lives, even.
Yes.
Hey,
that's so bad.
It's a horrible thing to see. But then hopefully it all works out for those families, and let's keep them in prayer and see how the story progresses.
Definitely. Yeah, I still feel like, the situation is still critical and, you know, ongoing support is needed to help the affected communities recover.
That's true. And even those people who have money, people who are near them, please be encouraged and go to those families and go to those community places.
Because, I mean, like,
places.
You're more fortunate. So, Exactly.
Some people just want to keep money to themselves sometimes. They don't even want. They just... They're like,
I've worked hard for it. It's mine. That's sad. If you have that mentality, that's sad. It's just sad. You can't be living with that kind of mentality. Yes, you worked hard, but it's not wrong to give back.
Because umntu ngabantu, you know.
Thank you. Ubuntu.
Even if you built it. Yes, you have it now, but then how about you give now? How about you try and give now? How about you try and do something good for your community? Even me, like, there's no way that I am going to be successful in my life, which I am, and then I never go back to where I'm from. I never built a school where I'm from. I never built a clinic where I'm from.
Yeah.
I never, like, what do you mean? I grew up in that place, and I know the issues of that place.
Definitely.
Thus, if I'm the son of the soil of that place, I should be able to come back and actually, like, help out where I can, you know? I feel like it's common practice, so we're just encouraging those who can help, even if you don't have much. But then just go and help.
What you have.
Go and help if you're not affected by it. Go and help. And sibambisane nini sonke mani, sibe nokwazi ufumana indlela yoya phambili, even xa imeko zimaxongo hlobo.
Yes, definitely. So, moving on to much more, you know, international affairs.
Hey, story of today. Hey, guys.
Do you know?
The state of the world is just not that great.
Are we living in the end days?
We are.
Are we living? living
these
in the
are the
days.
Signs of the time, for real. Yes. Signs of the times. These are the signs of the time.
So there are tensions between Iran and Israel. And
have been for the last 200,000 years. Oh, I'm not even playing, even more than that.
And you know, when I'm doing a TikTok, what's going on TikTok. So on TikTok, people are posting videos about, oh my gosh, this is my first war. How do I act? I'm so excited. What to wear for our first war? You know, oh my gosh, guys, my first war. Where are we meeting up to celebrate?
Yes, people
stuff
who haven't
like
gone through something. That was a joke.
Yes, and they don't know how it feels, and it's so sad. But like, it's a whole joke on TikTok about, oh my gosh, my first war. So yeah, it's quite sad. Actually.
I can imagine them.
But yeah, there's escalating tensions between Iran and Israel. Reports are emerging of a significant escalation in hostilities between Iran and Israel, with both countries engaging in military actions. The situation remains volatile and details are still coming in, you know. So Iran has launched a barrage of ballistic missiles targeting Israeli military installations and strategic sites. You would see, like, Paku TikTok, you can literally see Nazi missiles, they're shooting down, destructing buildings, killing people, basically.
Iran lands, isn't it?
Yes, Israel. It's so sad.
When is it gonna stop?
Why can't make you war, guys? And you know what's funny? Zonke as a government, as a countries, they talk to each other on Twitter. I don't know how to explain it.
But you know what's sad though? All of these big countries are making money off of these wars.
Really?
Check out where they get those missiles. Iran and Israel doesn't manufacture their own missiles.
Russia.
They get, USA.
Yes,
USA. 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 Yo, bona. Baphila ngalampilo. Baphila ngewar, bona. That's the only way that they can.
Has the U.S. ever been like in an actual war?
They have been in actual war in history. Yes, they have been. Actually, World War One, World War Two, they were the main characters in helping with their war.
Gotta
go
learn my history. Okay.
You know, but then. The backbone of American economy has always survived by producing military weapons or by the cause of a war. By like helping a country with their war efforts. So they'll sell you missiles or they will say, okay, we can give you weapons, nuclear weapons, blah, 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 all of these things. But then we want this and this and this, or we want this and this and this from you. So it's like that with these big nations.
And now you need the missiles, so you'll do it.
Exactly. So they just want the war to continue. Because USA has been in Iran, but then they don't really help. So what further reports have there been on this matter?
So, yeah. Moving on to casualties and damage, a lot has been damaged. It's just so sad. You know, reports indicate damage to infrastructure and military installations on both sides. So in both countries, that has happened. Casualties have been reported, but exact numbers are still being confirmed. They're still being confirmed. It means there's a number of people, you know,
multitude.
Exactly. And it's so sad. And, you know, our global leaders are urging restraint and calling for an immediate de-escalation of tensions, because they can see Naboba how it's going to affect their countries. If this war continues, it's definitely going to affect other countries as well. You know, diplomatic efforts are underway to prevent further escalation and promote a peaceful resolution. Quick question, Vuyi. Do you think that this war can be resolved? I feel like from here it's just war, and then we'll keep escalating.
No, politically it will be. Politically, it will be.
Really?
Yeah, these are the end of days, guys.
Resolved by the Lord coming back. Is that what
you're saying? So basically, you know, the Israel and Iran war has been happening for so many years, right? It's been happening for so many years that I think there's a part in the Bible where it says the war will stop Once the Antichrist is here, but that's a whole different topic.
Exactly.
It was Isakud. But then the war will stop. There will be someone who stops the war. And they, that person, they will like that person when that person is able to stop that war. And once that, they were going to praise that person who stops the war, thinking that
it's
the Messiah.
It's a higher God.
It's a higher God. But that's not the higher God, basically. And there's going to be times again. And then Isakud. We're still going far. We're still going far. But then me, I'm looking at it from a biblical sense. Because that's where I see things. Mm. But then, will it stop ngoku? I don't know. These people are just out for each other.
It doesn't even make sense.
I think it's about land, about uniting the two nations, Iran and Israel. But then even so, imagine, look at how chill we are with Lesotho.
Really?
We let them have their own country inside our country.
Our land, exactly.
Let's chill, guys. Let's chill. They just need the spirit of the
Same with Eswatini. We don't have any problems with...
We're chilling, fam. This is the thing about South Africa. We're so chilled. We could have taken over all of these countries, but we're like, no, you are our brother. Do your thing, 21.
It's deep. Yeah.
Like, no one has to be don't. But then it's so deep. It's about also, it's about our religious ideologies, you know. Iran believes in this God and they believe in that God.
No, they don't. Okay.
Some is like Israel's God.
Yes, that is true. That's true.
Iran, I think, is more Muslim based and whatnot.
Definitely, yes.
And we're not here to argue semantics who's right or who's wrong. Yeah. We're saying the war is wrong. Children are dying. Our families have been dying for decades, for centuries, as a matter of fact. You mean to tell me that since 19-something-something-something, since we got forth the Industrial Revolution, we're still unable to stop a war? Someone is benefiting from that war.
Definitely.
And they just want that war to continue. But then I'm hearing that other countries are on defense now. They fear being affected by such a war. Much so that... their concerns have risen about stability in the region and a potential spillover effect on them. So neighboring countries are on high alert, with some activating defense systems and others evacuating citizens from the region. The situation is rapidly evolving, and this report will be updated as more information becomes available. Wow. Yo. I can't imagine living in a place where Funagan Balekukaya, because a bomb might be dropped on me at any time.
But the thing is, you know, that's how sad it is, because these people are shooting from the sky. So you never know where it's going to hit.
Hey, and it just falls like a rain.
Exactly. So it's just
missiles
so sad,
everywhere.
Man.
Missiles everywhere.
I just don't like how Iran and Israel are so close to Africa. The way that
I suppose over to Egypt. But then if there was a war here, how do you think the country would handle it?
Not well. Because first of all, we went to war Naban Baga Eng. So definitely it will not end. I'm not even wishing for that. I wish it could never happen. I really pray to God that no war, you know, nothing, like, singabi involved in war, because we don't have the resources for war. So, obviously, that's sesiluzile already.
I was believing, I believe, trust me, trust me, guys. But then I just genuinely don't think that we would be affected by such, but because we're such a peaceful nation and we've always delegated for like peace, even with other countries and everything that happens with them. It's so important and so beautiful to see. Even us, do you know that we are the only country in the world that has ever destroyed their nuclear weapons? So like
for real,
yeah. For those who don't understand what nuclear weapons at home is, like, it's a very big bomb. It's that bomb. Remember your teacher in grade 9 was teaching you about Nagasaki and Hiroshima, that bomb that was dropped on Japan. It's that big bomb that can destroy a whole city. If that bomb dropped here, the whole entire Qeberha gone.
Why you go creating those challenge?
Abantu bangcolile jo, because they wanted to stop the war. So they dropped that in Hiroshima and in Japan and Nagasaki. So that thing destroys everybody. It kills everybody. Even people who survive, cabanga, they even have cancer even when they do survive. So it's just a sad thing to see. But even now, we're going to move on a little more to another case of just deep atrocity in Nigeria that's been happening.
Oh, yes.
With the Christian genocides there. So it's just horrible thing to see, that even we can't really put our heads around, because what's been happening is that you have people being killed for merely being Christian, for merely believing in God.
And that's also in the book of Revelations.
Everything.
That is also in the book of Revelations.
Yeah, the saints will be crucified.
Isn't Nigeria a Christian believing country?
It's Christian and Muslim.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
I did not know about the Muslim
part. It's,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's like everything is happening like as it was said. You know? That's all I'm seeing. I don't know what everybody conforms to, what they believe in, but then I'm here and I'm saying that everything is happening the way that it was supposed to. And it's a horrifying thing to see that people are killing each other for no reason over ideologies, where we could be just human beings being human beings and just leave it at that. Are you Christian? Be Christian. Am I Muslim? Let me be Muslim.
At the end of the day, we're all people.
Why should we kill each other over our own belief system? It's just so basically, just to be more specific, in Nairobi, after a scene of horror in which around 200 people were brutally killed in Yaltua in Benue State, Nigeria, the Pope Leo prayed for the victims, calling it a terrible massacre. So basically what happened is that over 200 people are being killed because they believe in Christianity and are Catholic. Despite extreme persecutions, the Catholic Church grows in the country with a record number of confirmation and mass attendance. Most of those killed in recent tragic events were internally displaced persons sheltered by the local Catholic mission. Vatican News reported on this. Speaking just before delivering the Sunday prayer, the Pope prayed for security, justice, and peace in Nigeria, adding that he was thinking in a particular place in the rural communities of the Benue State who has been relentless victims of this violence. So this military group is just attacking these, apparently this military group is Muslim. They have Muslim beliefs. But then even them, they are a victim of their anger, a victim of their anguish. And it's just, it's not about who they are, what they believe in. It's just about human beings.
What is the heads of the country saying about this whole thing?
They're not really saying anything. That's the thing.
That's crazy.
They're not really saying anything. Because, again, you must think that the country is divided. Even the leaders are Christian. Some of the leaders are Muslim. So it's like, should we talk about it? Should we not talk about it? Yeah. Should we actually help? Should we not help? But people are actually dying, you know? Almost on a daily bloodshed.
That is even so sad. Mm-hmm. That is so sad. So, responding to the attack on June 14th, Amnesty International Nigeria called on the country's authority to immediately end the almost daily bloodshed in Benue State and bring the actual perpetrators to justice. The advocacy group Save the Persecuted Christians said that overnight between June 13th and 14th, Muslim Fulani militants raided a predominantly Catholic Christian town.
Yeah.
So the town was outside of Makurdi, killing hundreds, early reports from contacts within the Catholic diocese of Makurdi. The group said that infants, toddlers, and the elderly are among the butchered and burnt bodies. Oh, that is so sad. You know, fleeing victims were shot and hacked with matches and thrown back into the fire. This is so... People killing... I am losing it. People are killing each other like this.
It's just, you know, it kind of reminds me of this book that I once read, Child Soldier.
That's so sad.
It was speaking about how, imagine now you are a child, you see your mother being raped.
Oh my gosh, that is so painful.
And then they burn down your hut, they burn down where you live, they burn your father. They killed your father first, probably. And then they raped your mother. And all of these things, just human beings doing these things to each other, is just, why are we like this?
Like, where's the heart, guys? How can you butcher someone? How can you burn someone alive? You know, it really saddens me whenever we, you know, what's happening in Nigeria. Never would I have thought that, you know, people would... we would come to this, you know. Never would I have thought that would come to this. And it's so sad that, you know, the country's heads, the country's officials are not doing anything about this. But your explanation makes sense, Cloud City. Probably why they're not doing about it is because they're a divided crew. Yeah, well, so there's Muslims, there's Christians. So, But, you know, let's keep the country
in
our prayers.
Let's fight for humanity.
We're all people, guys.
And so the Save the Persecution Christians suggested the attacks were retaliation for Bishop Wilfred Angambe of Makurdi testimony. So because that he went before the U.S. Congress and at the U.K. Parliament this spring on March 12, 2025, the Nigerian prelate testified before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, detailing what he called the egregious violation of human rights in a country that has become one of the most dangerous and insecure places for Christians. He fingered militant Islamic Fulani headsmen, whom he described as a terrorist destroying society. He said that they steal, they vandalize, they kill, and they boast about it. They kidnap and rape, and they enjoy total impunity from the elected authorities. He said that the target of these attacks is a mostly Christian and, to a lesser extent, moderate Muslim. Nigeria, with some 238 million inhabitants, is nearly evenly divided between Christianity and Muslim. But Ngambe sees a nefarious plan by those in power to turn the country into an Islamic state.
So
okay.
People are being forced to change religions.
So they want to scare you into
changing your religion.
Oh.
What's wrong with Christianity, Dan?
So these Islamic extremists are fiercely contesting the possession, control, and governing law of the land, especially in the country's northern and central regions, the latter of which is where Benue is located. He also told a congressman. So, hey, Inzulu, do you see how deep
very
it is
deep.
Now? It's very, 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 very deep. It's like a matter of, like, I change your religion or die.
Oh my gosh. You know how crazy this is? It's because me personally, also viewing it from a biblical view, I think everything that's happening now was... like we knew, but because it's in the book of life, which is the Bible.
Yeah,
you know, so it's yeah.
And we want to open
believe in what you believe. If you're Muslim, fully support that. If you're Christian, fully support that. If you if you're anti, we fully support that.
I don't think any conscious Muslim human being is out here thinking to themselves, let's go kill Christian people.
Yes.
I don't think this is about the religion in itself.
Same.
I think it's about how people use religion to influence other people.
Definitely.
That's the problem
here. Definitely.
And And what I want to reiterate is what you said. We want to open this conversation. We want to open the conversation to our Muslim our viewers out there. And I'm pretty sure they also stand against this.
Yeah.
They also stand against people being killed.
Being killed. Because, like, yeah, that's not nice.
You know? And just to say, agree with what you're saying about how we knew that these things would happen.
Yes.
Soon enough, it's a sad reality. They're going to come to your doorstep too.
Definitely.
Where you're going to have to decide.
Do I want to be Muslim or do I want to be Christian?
You're going to have to decide, do I want to die and say I believe in Christ, or do I want to live and do away with Christ? So it's a
tough one.
It's a moral quandary, but then scriptures being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. Right in front of our eyes. So what did the church under, what's happening with the church under Islamic extermination there?
So the church under Islamist extermination, rather, you know, he added that for his people, their experience today can be summed up as that of a church under Islamist extermination.
Mm.
You know, save the persecuted Christians added in their on the June 14th, you know, and they posted on X that this is genocide.
Mm.
And it is.
Talk about this genocide, Trump.
Talk about this genocide, Trump. Like, why are you, Donald Trump? At the beginning of June, at least 85 people were killed in coordinated waves of attacks in a span of a week in the Benue state. The attacks began on June 1st when armed Fulani ethnic militia attacked Gwe West and Apa countries, killing at least 43 people. Similar attacks earlier in Gwe country left another 42 people dead and thousands displaced. The Benue Concern Youths, a local advocacy organization, expressed the people's frustration in a letter to the state governor. You know, the letter goes like, innocent lives lost once more. Innocent lives have been lost once more. The Unaji Pax Romana, the group's spokesperson, said in the letter, we look to you for leadership and hope. Yo. The Nigerian Bishops' Conference condemned earlier in June what it called a barbaric massacre. You know, a barbaric massacre of innocent citizens in Benue City. These cold-blooded attacks on defenselessness communities where countless have been slaughtered, homes destroyed, and families left in anguish. You know, like, are an effort of affront to God, you know, a stain on our shared humanity and a terrifying remainder of the utter breakdown of security in our land. And Archbishop Lucius Iwejuru Ugori of Oweri and the president of Bishops Conference.
Yeah, I love how you said that. Archbishop Lucius Iwejuru Ugori.
Don't come for me, guys. I'm not Nigerian. Hey, if I pronounce that wrong, you know.
I got ready. Get yourself a Nigerian.
Oh, God. You know me now. Which kind of wahala be this now?
Hey, oh, gosh.
Alpha now. Alpha now.
Hey, you want ogbo soup and stockfish?
I want fufu.
You want fufu?
I want fufu.
Stick to your homeland, my sister. Hey.
And you wouldn't even
go show me. Terrifying.
And you wouldn't go show me. You wouldn't food. You wouldn't papa.
Love you, but like, hey, you know what's crazy about everything that's been happening? That people are actually still holding on to their faith amid all of this terror, despite growing and horrific persecution. Nigerian Catholics hold their tied to their faith. The confirmation of nearly 1,000 Catholics in Nigeria has underscored the growth of the church in the Western African country. Auxiliary Bishop Ernest Abogo of Enugu Dosiers in the southeastern part of the country conferred that the sacrament of confirmation of 983 people at the Holy Ghost Cathedral on June 4th, meaning that people are actually gathering to pray against this. Despite people actually being killed, guess what God does? He grows them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened to Israel, I think, before Exodus happened, because the Pharaoh wanted to kill everybody.
Yes.
But then, and was enslaving Israel people, but then they were still growing, you know?
Regardless.
regardless of persecution, regardless of the terror inflicted upon them, people are still believing. And it's such a beautiful thing to see in a human stance.
Faith over fear, guys.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Faith over fear. People saying, you know what? I know that there's a gun that can knock on my doorstep, someone who could burn me down at any day. Imagine being burnt alive, but I'm still going to say, listen, God is good.
All the time.
You know, I'm still going to say that. And it's such a beautiful thing to say about humanity. Our core beliefs not being shaken, even in the face of a storm. So Bishop Obogo, presiding over the ceremony, said that like wind and fire, the Spirit purifies, sanctifies, and strengthens us. He said, as he quoted this, so Nigeria, Africa's most populous country, is experiencing deadly violence in several parts of the country, from international recognized terror groups such as Boko Haram, from mainly Islamic Fulani herders, bandits, or gangs. The groups have encroached on farmlands, threatening farm owners and forcing out Christians. Analysts have described that this slow but silent persecution, which until now authorities have not classified as terrorism. The Nigerian church is also experiencing numerous kidnapping of priests. Father Ofla's Afina is assigned to several parishes across Alaska from September 2017 through 2024, was abducted on June the 1st in Nigeria, his home country, along with unspecified number of fellow travelers, while in Nigeria, Borno State, near the northern side town of Gwaza. Faithfuls on two continents are praying for his safe return.
It's beyond me. It is a crazy thing to see. It's beyond me.
For 2025, we're still talking about people being decapitated, being killed because of their belief. I pray that this type of spirit does not enter South Africa.
God forbid.
I pray that we are a cradle where all of the people can come into this country, people can actually run and come to South Africa when they
because they feel like it's a safe place.
Guys, I'm a fully firm believer in Christ and Christianity, and if anything, there's no way, if there was ever a Christian group saying that people should be killed, that is not Christianity.
That is definitely not Christianity.
And it's just, it's not the beliefs in which Christ preached. He preached the kingdom of the Lord, repentance and faith and belief in God and walking a righteous path, not killing anybody, not being murdering anybody. And we don't want that. We don't want that. I pray even now that like South Africa can be a cradle for humanity, as we are named to be a safe haven, that these Nigerians, we can actually open up our borders for these Nigerians who are being persecuted, that they can come here and practice their religion. Guys, I'm Christian, but me, I don't care whether you believe in sugar
or you believe in anything.
Whatever you believe in,
you're a person. That's at the end of the day, you're a person, and we love you because you're a person. Humanity is very important. As you said, humanity is very important. You know, it shouldn't go, you know, about what you believe in, what I believe in. At the end of the day, we both have souls. That's what makes us you. We both have souls.
Souls. That's the word I was looking for. We have souls, man. So singabantu. It doesn't matter whether
this is just the flesh
or green or tin, but singabantu unomphefumlo. Let us constantly remind each other. To that person, that white person you're not talking to in class because you still believe in apartheid.
Please go say hi.
To that Indian lady that you hate because you watched a movie when you were young about Indian people. Go say hi, guys.
We're all people.
Please, man.
We are all people.
I don't care what you believe in, but let's shed a smile. Let's shed life together and love, and encourage each other to be human beings who are being human beings, and stop the hate.
Definitely.
That was our show for today, but we're going to leave them with a question.
Okay.
What I hear, you have prepared a question for us today, Karabo, about what's going to happen over the holidays. Please tell the people.
Question of the podcast, question for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, what will you be getting up to this recess?
Oh,
you know, 3 weeks of leisure.
Let me ask you,
what will you be getting up to?
I'm going to the Krubaba.
He is lying. Let me guys tell you what. Okay. You know, let's do this, Nip. I'm going to say what I think you'll be up to, and you'll say what you think I'll be up to.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so interesting.
Okay, so, me personally, I think that guys, he's an athlete. He likes running. He runs every day. I don't know what is wrong with him. I don't know where he gets the energy and all the time. So he'll be definitely doing sporty stuff, and he'll definitely be going to church because he's a church goer. So those are the things that, and obviously spending time with family, you know. So I think that's what you're going to be doing the whole holiday.
That's literally my top three plans. I won't even lie.
I know you.
Oh my goodness, I have pressure.
I know you.
I know that you're definitely going to be with family. Period. One very important thing. Maybe you and moms are going to take each other out again. Yeah, moms are probably going to take each other out again and just spend time together.
Yes.
And then definitely going to be singing all throughout the holiday.
Oh my gosh.
Making sure that you're singing and making those notes. And also, hopefully, when you come back, you reach that 100,000. You are 99, Miss.
Oh my gosh. Guys, he keeps up with me. I didn't know that he keeps up with me.
I gotta make sure. Come on, you're fam. Come on,
lad. How do you know these things?
Trust.
But I'm currently on 93,000 followers on TikTok.
Guys, I'm on zero. I'm on TikTok now. She doesn't know. But I started
why don't you tell me these stuff?
I started my I was gonna tell you on the show. I wanted to surprise you.
Oh.
I
have it is a surprise, actually. It is.
I have my TikTok, V_Nomchacho. Even on Instagram, V_Nomchacho. I haven't posted anything. We'll see what happens.
Show some love.
Yeah, show some love. And let's make sure at least by the end of September.
Let's go for September.
And say they give you 100,000.
Please.
They give you your 100,000. Please, guys, go follow Karabo on
TikTok, Karabo.Daniels, as well as Instagram, Karabo_Daniels.
And I am V_Nomchacho, V_Nomchacho everywhere. That's me. I have TikTok live and Instagram. Let's get it.
Proud of you. Anyways, that is it from the Colon Podcast here on Matiba's Radio, where we, of course, connect, inform, and definitely engage with you. We will see you next semester.
Always.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay. Matiba's Radio.
What is up, Madiba's fam? It's another week. It's another episode right here on Madiba's Radio Podcast. And you're listening to Extra Time. And I'm your host, Rabona Chabane. And as per usual, I bring you all things sports. But I don't bring you all things sports by myself. I'm never alone. Never, ever alone.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here once again. All things sports.
Yeah. And like we said, like we tell you every single week, the sports world is a world that is never resting. We never rest. And even though it is recess, there's still like there's no rest. And it being recess now means that it's time for University Sports of South Africa, the USAs. USAs are back, and our athletes are going to be distributed all over the country taking part in USAs this recess.
Starting with the netball. The netball USAs start on the 30th of June until the 4th of July, and it will be taking place at our very own university at the South Campus Netball Courts. Pull through if you're still around with your friends. With the rugby, if you are in Pretoria, you can go and support our Madiba's rugby team for their USA games at the University of Pretoria, also starting on the 30th of June. With the basketball, if basketball is your favorite sport and you're around Johannesburg, you can go and support our Madiba's basketball team at the University of Witwatersrand.
So we've spoke about rugby, and hockey's also on. And I think one of my contacts is a hockey player, and he studies at in the Free State. And I think USA Hockey will be hosted in the Free State. I'm not sure if it's going to be hosted at the University of the Free State or the Central University of Technology. But either way, I will be there. I'll go. It's like, even if it's just like one day, just pop by, see what's up. Yeah. You know, like, let me do something. Like, let me do something. Obviously, I'm not going to be in Gauteng to watch the netball and the rugby and the basketball, but there is USAS being hosted in my city, so I might as well take the opportunity.
And speaking about basketball, wasn't there a recent event?
They were traveling this past weekend. They were playing Rhodes, and then they had a youth day game as well on Monday. And I was like, oh, like, so, because I do follow a few of the basketball players on my Instagram, and I saw they were out, they were playing. The women were in Rhodes. I really don't know about their performance, but I'm assuming it went well, seeing that Rhodes is enemy number one, and at the last FNL of the season, of the semester, it didn't go so well when they played against Rhodes. Like, it was really bad. Every single team lost. When I tell you, that's like Rhodes is enemy number one. Like, it's enemy number one. But no, man, we're gonna let them cook.
I want to learn basketball, actually.
You must be like Tiamo and go play basketball. Yeah. Like I think we should have a little basketball day, dabbling some basketball.
And I saw on social media a lot of people, they were watching this basketball event. I think it was
the
in
ball. Yes, the Basketball Africa League. One day I will be on the court side. The outfits, amazing. Yo. The games, amazing. One of a girl I went to high school with, she was a dancer for the ball, and I was like, I want to be there. Like, it, like, you need to, you was, they were, they looked so cool. Like, the celebrities that were there, oh my days. That's what I'm saying. One day, Uncle Waffles was there, Blackie was there, Speedy the YouTuber, I think his name is Speedy. He was there, and I was just like, wow.
Must be nice.
Courtside tickets, like, 4K.
Oh?
Yeah. One day when I'm big, courtside, just to sit by the court. You know, like how those Rihanna and ASAP pictures where they're just sitting by the court, 4K. I mean, you can go out to the bleachers, and probably the bleachers tickets is probably like less, but the courtside tickets, 4K.
I clearly underestimated them, not me thinking they were around 150, 200.
Oh, no, this is the big leagues. It's the NBA for Africa. So, like, the budget is there. The budget pulled through, the dancers, the cinematics of it, like, it was, I was on the Instagram page, I was impressed. I was like truly impressed. The outfit, I'll never stop speaking about the outfits, because everyone looked so cool and they looked so dripped out, and it's like, yeah, like, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what we're here for, you know?
And I've been hearing people saying Formula One must come to South Africa.
But where? Where are we going to have Formula One? Do we have the space for Formula One? If we have a Formula One track that gets built, it needs to be built in the outskirts, like away from the city, like in very big open area in order for it to be possible. I'm thinking Durban.
So not Cape Town?
No. I'm thinking Durban. I think Durban's perfect. Like, now that I think about it, I think Durban would be perfect to have it, like, just a little bit outside of Durban, like, just outside Durban. I think too many things happen in Cape Town. That's why I'm not all for Cape Town. See, the ball took place in Joburg. Okay. We need F1. But in the coast, it would be perfect for a coast. I don't want to say PE because...
No.
Durban. And I will be there. That's why I needed to come... Let me give it a time frame. Let me say in the next 5 years. I feel like in the next 5 years, I'll afford to go and be, like, fully there. But the sooner the better, really. Like, if the sooner it was here, the better. And moving on to cricket, the ICC World Test Championship final for the 2025 season, where South Africa won the ICC World Trophy, which is their first trophy after 27 years. And this past Saturday, Themba Bavuma led Africa, sealed a dominating 5-wicket victory over Pat Cummins, Australia, in the final of the World Test Champion. And again, DNA, just RSA. Like, now we have Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
We have ICC.
Yes.
I saw a tweet that said Argentina and Messi have something that belongs to us, but we'll get there when we get there. And that is the FIFA World Cup. One day.
One day is one day.
Let's just focus on qualifying. And the World Cup is next year. Yeah. Like, the World Cup is next year.
And also, like, I saw a post that said it's actually the first time that South Africa has won the Rugby World Cup and the ICC at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. Like, it's big.
We're a bunch of winners, guys.
No DNA, just RSA. Like, Now that I think about it, 27 years is a long time. That's almost how many years South Africa's been a democratic country. Just over 27 years. And that's like, yo, the last time we won was in the 90s. We passed the 2000s. We passed the 2010s. Now we're in the 2020s. And we finally reclaimed the trophy back. And it couldn't have been done with if we didn't have an amazing captain. So shout out Themba Bavuma, who led the team to victory. Like, it was long overdue, which is why I'm saying, FIFA World Cup, we can do it. Like, if we really put our minds to it, there is hope for Bafana Bafana to get that trophy. I know our skill level's not the same as the other country's skill level, but it's possible.
We'll get there.
It's possible.
But what interests me, though, the World Cup, FIFA World Cup next year, it's in the USA. And I saw a post on social media that said the stadiums at the US, like, people aren't attending.
Because football, most they call it soccer in America. So it's not like they're not big on it like that. So I don't know. It could go either way. Like, they're big on the NFL and the NBA and the Baseball Association. But they're big on baseball, football, and basketball.
And it's actually interesting that they're hosting the FIFA World Cup, right? I just hope, like, with the attendance, it does something for them.
Yeah, like, it's like the same theory that they had when we hosted the FIFA World Cup in 2020, that it's going to do so much greatness for our country. And it really, yeah. And I was also, like, people saying it was one of the best. I wish I could remember half of what happened in that World Cup. I was 6 years old.
Are you sure of that?
The one we hosted in 2010, people saying was the best one. I think we need a rematch. Yes. Let's host it again.
Exactly.
Let's host it again. We have Amapiano. Let's go. Like, let's go. Like, I feel like we are ready now. Exactly. The vibes have improved so immensely from 2010 till now. And it's not that the 2010 World Cup wasn't back. It was a great World Cup. Apparently, we didn't go to school. I don't remember. I don't remember much. I really don't remember much. I remember going to the games, yeah. But I don't remember. People were like, we had a long holiday, school holiday. I was like, we did? Like, hectic.
Like, I remember. I think it was like over 2 months. But like, I was sitting at home and I'm like, I'm not here this long. Something is wrong. I'm not here this long.
No, we were hosting great people. We were hosting the greats. And I think Spain won that year. Spain won 2010. So now, 2026 FIFA World Cup.
I think what's interesting about that 2010 World Cup, right? The current manager of Man United, apparently he was playing in that World Cup.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy. That is so crazy. No, man. Bafana Bafana can do it. We have rugby. We have cricket. Netball, I'm not going to speak on.
Yo.
I'm not going to speak on the netball. Not after what happened in 2023. Yo. But football, I have hope.
Yes.
I have hope. I feel like we have the right players. It's just a matter of we need to want it. Desire needs to be there. And it's there. Like, it's literally on the edge.
Moving on to the Currie Cup First Division. This past Saturday, we had a match and in our very own Madiba Stadium. And it was SWD Eagles versus EP Kings. And our boys, the EP Kings, won by 26 points to 14. A huge congratulations to the guys.
Listen, a lot of people were at that game. Like, I had some people on my contact list. They're at that game. And I was like, how did you guys know about it? Like, how did you guys know? And I think it's because I've been off social media. I've been saying that, like during exams, I was off social. So it's probably something that they saw. But I had a lot of people on my contact list who went to the game. It was, I don't want to say packed. Not as packed as the Varsity Shield games, but it did have an audience. Like, it was a decent turnout. Like, it was a pretty decent turnout. And, yeah, moving on to the United Rugby Championship. Leinster finally broke their four-year drought in the United Rugby Championship to win a one-sided final against the Blue Bulls with a 32-7 final score at the Coke Park on Saturday. And we spoke about this last week. And we were like, the Bulls have this in the bag.
After that game, like, I was honestly so defeated. Like, if only you would have seen, I was like literally not sitting in front of the TV, literally standing like
that meme of that dad standing there with his hands behind his back. Ugh, no, especially because like the score as well tells you a lot.
I didn't expect it to go that far because it's the Bulls.
But it's like if the score was like a 12-7, we're going to be like, okay, they put up a good fight. Mm-hmm. Like, they tried, but 32-7, it was never ours.
It felt like they weren't there, and you can't pinpoint and say it was a certain player. Like, literally, they were outclassed in every single department, and they had no response.
Do you think they went into the game scared? With the mentality of...
I don't think that they were scared. Like, not at all. Because I saw an article on the SA Rugby Mag, right? The coach said, no, like, we are ready for this. We're going to put up a fight. Because also, like, they were saying that they're playing for the winger who passed away, Cornell Hendricks.
Mm.
Because apparently, I think he was a 14. So now, like, they didn't have the 14. Instead of 14, they put the number 24.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of the numbers, they had his face on, like, to honor him. So they were saying, no, like, we're doing this for Cornell. We're doing this for him to honor his memory.
So there was a motive.
I don't think that they were scared. Mm-mm. Bulls and scared. I can't put that in one sentence.
It's either they were scared or they were too much in their head. Like, they overthought everything. But
and I actually, after the match, right, I heard the coach saying that now we need to copy what Leinster is doing in terms of they already signed two overseas players. I think a few from the club Montpellier, and also Andre Pollard. He's joining them next season. But the Sharks, right, they have a stacked team. But, okay, they had a better season, but sometimes... Yeah. Does having a stacked team really do, like...
Does it do more harm than good, or does it... Yeah. No, I hear you 100%. And it's like, they... I don't want to say they almost had it, because they definitely didn't.
They didn't. Listen, I think it was 30 minutes into the game. Leinster, I think they scored already three tries. When they scored 19-0, right?
Mm.
It was, like, 19-0. Like,
at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I don't want to say you can't bounce back from that. It is possible to bounce back from that, but they just didn't have it in them to bounce back.
Because when they were playing in the quarterfinals against Edinburgh, like, at Loftus, their home ground, they were, like, they got off to a sluggish start, but they still made that comeback. Where was the comeback, like, now in the...
I think because it was home ground,
they
had the fans.
And those Irish fans, they don't keep quiet. One thing
exactly.
about them.
They didn't have the lack of fans. It really does do something to a team's morale, like not having your standard fans in the bleachers.
Mm.
Yeah, it takes a toll. Like, it gives you, like, you're not as motivated because you're not hearing the screams and shouts. The screams and shouts you're hearing are all against you. So it's like...
And sometimes it isn't easy to ignore that, because you're like, no, man, I'm not gonna pay attention to that. But, like, once you're in the moment, it's just...
Yeah. Mm-mm.
And also, like, I won't say the weather, because that, yo, it was pouring. It was pouring. But
when it rains, it pours.
But they trained to, like, to play in those sort of
conditions. Weather conditions.
Yeah. So I refuse to accept any excuse that has to do with the weather.
A lot of analysts that we can speak all day about what could have been, why, what they did wrong. It's because of this. And it's like, at the end of the day, they just were not the better team.
Yeah.
They were just not the better team.
And Leinster wanted it more in their home ground.
I mean, 4 years. Drought.
And also, like, what is interesting, you know, Erges Neyman, right? He plays for Leinster. He's one of the only players to win the URC title twice, because in 2022, he played for Munster, and they won.
So he just keeps changing clubs.
Yeah. The trophies follow him, because now with Leinster, he won. The
trophies follow him. Mm. That could be a theory that, like, starts coming out and about. But moving on to the soccer, the FIFA Club World Cup has started, and our very own Mamelodi Sundowns is in Group F, and they'll be playing soon against you. What? Olsen. Right, of course, we are backing Mamelodi Sundowns 100%, seeing that they're the only South African club that made it to the Club World Cup. And like I said, one thing about Sundowns, they have some pretty decent players. Like, their players there are standard players. One thing about them, they will see you, they will scout you, and you're an established player. Come play for us. Come play for us. And it's like, wow, that's like quite interesting. And of course, in the upcoming fixtures with PSL, we have the Sarik Stars and Cape Town City, and then the Sarik Stars versus Orbit College FC. And of course, they are taking part in the promotion relegation game that we spoke about last week that has to do with the PSL. And the Premier Soccer League promotional playoffs are hanging in the balance as all three teams have already begun their campaigns in the mini league. However, none have yet demonstrated the urgency to fully claim their spot in the top division, with the tournament still goalless after three matches. Cape Town City will next travel to face Sarik Stars at the Solomon Mahlangu Stadium with a kickoff at 3 p.m. After a goalless draw at home, City will be under pressure to get their promotion hopes back on track against the Sarik team known for their attacking style. With so much at stake for both sides and the coveted place in the Premiership up for grabs, it's tough. It really is tough. And a promotion relegation game, like Yibanati said last week, he said they do so well, Cape Town City now, they do so well when they play against the teams in the Premier Soccer League. Put them against Stellenbosch, whatever. They win. And then when it's time to play against the smaller teams,
it's
then
a draw.
A nil draw at that. I don't understand if it was a one-all draw, but a goalless draw, what are we doing? How badly do you want it?
They don't have any excuse this time around. Like, they need a result out of the next few games.
I mean, three games, oh no, it's not looking good. Mm-mm. It really isn't looking good, especially for the club. It makes you question, do they even deserve to be promoted into the Premier League?
And, for example, if you look at Sarik Stars versus Orbit College, what if one of them wins? It might put them in a better position and can overtake City, you see.
No, so most certainly.
They need a result this weekend. They need a straight win. No draws.
Mm-mm. Straight win in black and white, and just keep giving straight wins.
Yeah.
Because three games with no all, like, we need to do something. Because I think it's how many games? There's a lot of games that are upcoming, and they're just not looking. They don't look like they want it as bad as they should. And of course, with the Orlando Pirates, they remain in the hunt for Jose Rivera's successor. However, they have announced the retirement of Mandla Ngcikazi, who took over the reins as an interim coach at the end of last season. The 56-year-old will remain in the team's technical setup department, managed four games for the Buccaneers, winning once and drawing on three occasions. Coach Mandla Ngcikazi has served the club well and professionally in different roles for highly valued, a source confirmed. Moreover, he has a contract with the club until next year and he's allowed to stay then. Part of the plans include him continuing to serve in the technical team for the next season. AmaZulu FC midfielder Rowan Human has been offered to Orlando Pirates and Chaser Chiefs by his representatives as he's set to leave the club on a free transfer. Human will leave Usutu at the end of June after his contract expires after the 24-year-old failed to reach an agreement with the club on a new contract. Human has been offered to both Soweto Giants by his representatives and could only be a matter of time before he gets snapped up and he will be a free agent and rediscover his old form. Orlando Pirates tried to sign Human in January and it appears they will try again this winter. I love open, I don't know, no, it's not an open window transfer because now he's going to be a free agent and clearly he couldn't come to an agreement with his current club. And obviously if you are trying to come to an agreement with your current club, it's a matter of, a lot of the times it's a matter of pay me more. And clearly they don't want to, they're not budging, they're not finding a common negotiation with Grassi's contract. And it's if you're not doing that, then I'll go take my talents elsewhere where I will get what I want. And you clearly don't want that for me. And it seems like they're okay with it. It seems like they were okay with it because at the end of June, he's a free agent and two teams are gunning for him. Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates. I hope he plays for Pirates.
Kaizer Chiefs.
I hope he plays for Pirates. Don't. He mustn't make the mistake of going to Kaizer Chiefs. Orlando
That's
Pirates.
That's my team.
Nope. He mustn't make that mistake. Orlando Pirates is waiting. That black and white jersey is waiting for you.
What about the gold one? What about the yellow?
Yeah. Who cares? Like, the black and the white, that's standard. With the red, standard. Because clearly, AmaZulu's not working for him. Let's go to Pirates. But the fact that both giants want him. Well, not want him. That's what his reps like. These are your options.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to... Okay, you think he's going to sign for Kaizer Chiefs? I don't think so, though. I mean, they're not even in the top eight. Would you want to sign to a team that's not in the top eight?
Yeah.
Exactly.
My team, guys.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I hear, we're signing some players, but we'll be back next season. We'll see. Don't worry. We'll be back. We'll be back for glory next season.
I wouldn't say. At least let's just aim to stay in the top eight next season. Glory is a bit far-fetched. Let's just aim to make it into the top eight for now. Baby steps,
I guess.
I mean, obviously you guys want them to dominate, but you need to be realistic.
Okay.
That's the only way.
That's also another thing. Okay.
Realism. Right. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. It's been an amazing one.
And also, it's our last episode for the semester.
And we will catch you back. I don't know if we're going to be on podcasts or if we're going to be back on radio, but we will be back next semester for sure. This is Extra Time. My name is Rabone Chabane.
And my name is Lolonga.
And this is Madiba's radio podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage.
Opening up the waves for you to be heard.